In New York over the weekend, $200 million worth of artwork by Jackson Pollock, Andy Warhol, and others was donated to the Whitney Museum of American Art. It's believed to be the largest gift of post-war American art to any museum. Part of the donation came from the Whitney's Board of Trustees, who are themselves art collectors.
Private collectors are driving much of the art market these days. Last month, multimedia baron David Thompson reportedly outbid the J. Paul Getty Museum for Rubens' Massacre of the Innocents. He paid a record price for an old master, more than $77 million. Sales like that have raised questions about whether it's better for art to be privately owned or on public display. Laura Seidel reports.
Patrice Marindel, the senior curator of European art at the Los Angeles County Museum, says the Massacre of the Innocents was perhaps the most beautiful painting he's seen offered on the market in 30 years. But he says he's not surprised that even the well-endowed Getty couldn't afford it.
Frankly, I don't know of any museum today in the U.S. or in Europe that can actually sign a check for $75 million to buy a painting or any kind of other object.
Blame falling stock for rising art prices, says Alan Schwartzman, a writer and an advisor to collectors. He says these days that many collectors see art as a great investment, provided that it's blue-chip work.
What's happening in the art market in general, whether it's for old masters, modern masters, or contemporary art, is that there's a much larger number of people seeking out the work of the same number of artists that collectors were seeking out 10 and 15 years ago. So it's simply a function of supply and demand.
Schwartzman blames museums as much as collectors for driving up the prices. These nonprofit institutions like to avoid haggling at auctions. As a result, the Getty, the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, and the Museum of Modern Art in New York have paid record prices to fill up holes in their collections.
Some museums tend to not be as savvy about pricing as private collectors, and therefore, works of art are sometimes offered to museums at very high prices, and museums are more likely to accept those prices than to negotiate in the same way that private collectors do.
That leaves smaller institutions with smaller acquisition budgets in a tight spot. When Harry Parker, director of the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco, heard about the price tag on Massacre of the Innocents, he had this thought.
If you had the first weekend's take of Men in Black, you could afford to buy the Rubens.
The 4th of July weekend take on Men in Black 2 was $90 million. In comparison, last year, the Fine Arts Museum's acquisition budget was around $4 million. Still, Parker says he isn't that worried about museums getting priced out of the market. A stroll around the galleries at the Legion of Honor, one of San Francisco's fine arts museums, helps clarify why. Currently, on display are works of Flemish master Michael Swerts. In one exhibit hall, more than two dozen paintings hang. At least half are labeled with the names of collectors who donated the work to the museum.
When they have an object of that kind of importance, it gradually does dawn on them that it isn't personal property. You know, you really are a steward for something that has a broader meaning to a lot of people, and it's ethically wrong to hide it in a private setting.
According to Parker, at least three-quarters of the work hanging on the walls of the fine arts museums at any one time have been donated. Indeed, many museums wouldn't be able to put on exhibits without the largesse of collectors. Eli Broad, chair of Sun America and a trustee of Los Angeles County Museum of Art, was just ranked one of the top 10 collectors in America by Art News. He and his wife have set up a foundation to lend works from their collection to museum exhibitions.
Oh, I do believe it's an obligation, and one we really have the privilege and enjoy fulfilling. We're just guardians of the art we collect. Eventually, all art should end up in public institutions.
Historically, many collectors have given entire collections to museums. But Alan Schwartzman worries that could change as the value of art goes up.
So in some instances, yes, they'll wind up in museums, but in others, because they increase so much in value, they begin to look upon them as part of the legacy that they leave to their children.
Meanwhile, Rubens' Massacre of the Innocents is now in the hands of multimedia mogul David Thompson. He hasn't said whether he plans to show the work to the public. For NPR News, I'm Laura Seidel in San Francisco.